And I'm so glad that we can, each and every passing day, we grow to love the Lord more and more. Amen? You can never love Him enough. There's always room. For the love of Christ constraineth us. His love causes us to love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. You got it. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight. Good singing for a Wednesday. And as we come back to our studies in the book of Romans, so busy with work this week that I had to actually prepare tonight's message just this afternoon. And the Lord gave me just enough time to do that, which is fine. I don't mind that. Work is keeping me busy, but that's good, making money, you know. Well, folks, in Romans chapter 8, of course, we're still in Romans chapter 8. Our present series on Wednesday nights is entitled Great Chapters of the Bible. Great Chapters of the Bible. And tonight we come to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Verse 24. We don't put no time limit on our series, you know. This one here, I think it's about our 12th message or so, 12th week or so, and we probably would have about 7 more to go. I'm totally guessing. It's up to the Holy Spirit. But here we pick up the text in verse 24 tonight. We read, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 24 and 25. And Lord, how we thank you for the truths that are conveyed by your Holy Spirit through these two verses tonight. And we pray that He would open the eyes of our understanding and show us what meaneth these truths, Father, and that we may take and apply them to our Christian lives, making us better servants for Thee. We just love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for the good spirit of unity in the church. We thank you for the joy and the peace that we have through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, folks, last time we saw that we, born-again believers, are presently in a state of waiting for the actual redemption of our physical bodies, which shall occur either at the rapture or at the resurrection of our dead bodies. Okay? Either way, it will occur. So tonight, in verse 24, we saw that in verse 23, Paul is elaborating upon this very topic, and also he'll do so in verse 25, as we'll see. We understand that Paul is not speaking here of the soul and spirit of the believer, which are already saved, totally. But again, he's speaking of the physical body of the believer, which is not yet redeemed or saved, okay? It will be. Let's observe 5 things tonight. First of all, let's notice the means whereby the body is redeemed. Look at verse 24. For, he's continuing his context from verse 23, of course. And he says this, verse 24, "For we are saved by hope." We are saved by hope. Now, clearly, in this statement, Paul tells us that the redemption, that is the salvation of the physical body, is not acquired by works, but by faith. Just like the inner man is saved by faith, the outer man also is saved by faith. Now, this hope is not a blind... And by the way, this hope found in verse 24 and 25 is not a hope in the sense of, oh, gee, I hope so. I hope maybe someday so. It's not that kind of hope. And I'm going to show you the biblical definition of hope in a few minutes here. Keep that in mind. Now, this hope is not blind hope, but it is produced in the soul of the believer by God's indwelling spirit, making him or her to know the things stated. It is no uncertainty, but a firm and solid knowing that one day we shall be like him. Okay? Look at it again. For we are saved by hope. Now, are you saved? Yeah, everybody says, yeah, I'm saved, Pastor. Of course you're saved. That's why you're in God's house tonight, because you are saved.
Right.
But a part of you was not saved. We saw that last week. What's it called? What part of you is not saved yet? Your body. Your physical body. That's why it still sins. You see that? In your spirit, you don't sin. That's the Holy Spirit is taking possession of that part of you. There's no sin there. That's why you're going to heaven. Your body can't go to heaven because it's sinful. You need a new one, adapted for it. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, holding your place in Romans. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith, we call it. It names all of the Old Testament saints, not all of them, but a lot of them, that were saved by faith, okay? And like you and I. Now, look here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Paul, the writer is about to give you the biblical definition of what faith is. He says, now faith, and he, of course he's talking about saving faith. He's not talking about temporal faith. They're different. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith is substance and faith is evidence. See that? Of what? Of what you and I hope for. That's what faith is. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 2. Speaking of this hope of the believer, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he preaches a great message. And he goes, in his sermon, he goes back to the Old Testament saint named David. And he says, David had something. Something special. Look in Acts chapter 2 at verse 26. 25. For David speaketh concerning him, Jesus Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. But he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh, my physical body, shall rest, that's in the grave after he died, in what?
Hope.
Hope. There it is. David connects the resurrection of his body in glorification with the hope that he had. You see that? Very important. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 23. This hope is directly connected to our glorified bodies, folks. That's what I want you to see in this particular point. In Acts chapter 23, we read this. Paul, of course, preaching away, as he was known for. Verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, they don't believe in a resurrection, and the other part Pharisees, they do. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Now notice here in verse 6 that Paul couples together with the resurrection of his physical body the word hope. See that? Go hold your place there in Acts and go back to Romans for a moment. The hope and resurrection of the body. Back to Romans 8 for a moment. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. And of course he's speaking of the body, which is not yet saved. Okay? Connecting the resurrection of the body with the hope, the blessed hope that we have. Back to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. We'll see it one more time before we move on. In Acts 24, look with me at verse 15. Paul again, before Festus, says in verse 15, he's speaking about himself, and have hope. For what, Paul? Toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a what? Resurrection of the what? of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Here, Paul again couples the word hope with resurrection of the physical body. You getting the picture? Okay, back to our text, Acts chapter 8. For we are saved, our bodies, by hope. Why? Because it hasn't yet taken place. He never says your soul is saved by hope because it's already saved. So he's talking about the body. A lot of preachers get confused on this and they misinterpret this verse. Now, the Greek word here in verse 24 for hope is elpis. No, not Elvis, Lucas. Elpis. Elpis means, listen to what it means. It means joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. That's what the Greek word means. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. That's the hope that Paul's talking about. A confident expectancy that my body will be glorified forever. All right? Secondly tonight, back to Romans chapter 8. A second point. Observe Paul's word of caution against signs, wonders, and miracles. Verse 24 again. He says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What? He just said, hope that is seen is not hope. He's saying, what you see with your physical eyes, that's not hope. That's sight. Now, folks, listen carefully. Anything in this world that can be seen, touched, heard, felt, or tasted is not of faith. Okay? And God does not want people coming to Him based upon some physical manifestation or some supernatural occurrence, because Satan is able to give them to you. How many of you know that? Satan's able to give you supernatural occurrences. Oh, that must be God. Be careful. That the devil is having a field day in the churches, quote-unquote Christian churches today? Because they want signs, wonders, and miracles. They want supernatural occurrences, and they want it now. They don't want to live by faith. They want to see some great event take place, some miracle, some gold teeth coming into a person during the service. Gold dust. This one church is idiot. They had the guy get up in the air duct system, and he sprinkled gold dust into the air ducts of the ventilation system. And of course, it blew out onto all the people, and all the people, gold dust! Gold dust! It's a miracle! No, it's some idiot sprinkling you with gold dust. Okay? And if that's your salvation, you're not saved. Because gold dust doesn't save anybody. You know what really irks me? These people who walk around and saying, see that gold tooth? God gave me that by a miracle when I was in a church service. I always say to them, you know that lying is a sin? You know that? Now, maybe they did get a gold tooth, but it wasn't from God. You tell me, folks. You're intelligent here in church tonight. What purpose would God have in making someone's tooth into gold? What would that serve? What would that... Oh, it's a miracle! Be careful. Be careful. Because Satan is able to give miracles. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Paul's second point is his word of caution against signs, wonders, and miracles. And he's got good reason. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Speaking of the second advent, then shall that wicked, who's the wicked? Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with what? All power and signs and lying wonders. What do you mean lying wonders, Paul? It means they're lies of the devil. Because they pretend, the Antichrist will pretend that he is Jesus Christ. That's what a lying wonder is, okay? Saying, I'm Jesus, I'm doing this. He's a liar. That's a lying wonder. 10. and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Here it is, folks. They don't want this book. They want signs, wonders, miracles, and supernatural occurrences. They don't want biblical faith. 10, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they chose those charlatans with the signs, wonders, and miracles, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. See that? They're going to say, this is Jesus Christ. Let us worship him. And the Antichrist will say, bow before me. Kiss my ring. Kiss my feet. Oh, yeah. All right. Revelation 13. Before we move on, let's see it one more time. In Revelation, be careful about signs and wonders and miracles and Pentecostalism and charismaticism and all that. Revelation chapter 13. We know what this chapter is about. The reign of Antichrist and the mark of the beast, right? Look what he does to get people to worship him. Verse 13. That's 13:13, the number of rebellion. Yeah. And he, Antichrist, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth. In the sight of who? Men! People! And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those what? Miracles! Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. He died like Jesus Christ, and he came back to life 3 days later, like Jesus Christ. Who do you think he's trying to be? Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is trying to be the Christ, and he never will be. But he's doing it by miracles. You see that? Be careful about miracles, folks. That's all I'm saying. Now, let me make a stipulation here. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Our God is a miracle-working God. And he can work any miracle he wants at any time, anywhere on planet Earth. And he does. But we don't look for miracles, folks. We live by faith, not by sight. Thirdly tonight, back in Romans chapter 8, Paul's third point. Notice Paul's distinction between sight and faith, between physical and spiritual. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Paul is making a distinction here in verse 24. He's saying you can't mix works and faith, just as you can't mix physical with spiritual. They're spelt different. Go to Romans chapter 4. Flip back a couple of pages. You'll be in Romans chapter 4. Look at this. The Bible could not be any clearer about this point than it is. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, to boast, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God. He believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Wow! How did he get that way? By faith. By faith, not by works. Go to Romans chapter 11 before we move on. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse number 5. Paul says, speaking of Israel, even so, then, at this present time, folks, tonight, there is a remnant of Jews. According to the election of grace, they were saved the same way you were. They're born again through Jesus Christ. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Do you know what Paul is saying in verse 6? He's saying you cannot mix at works and grace one iota, not one tiny little bit, you'll ruin one or the other if you do. And how many churches, how many preachers today trying to put you under the bondage of the law of Moses, mixing works with grace, and it never works. It only serves to frustrate the Christian. See? You got to hone in on the grace of God and the blessedness thereof. All right, fourthly tonight, back to Romans 8. Romans 8. Observe Paul's description of a true believer. I like this. We find it in verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, people, listen carefully. People who go to churches that promote miracles and signs and wonders are people who do not want to live by faith. They seek after physical, visible manifestations of the supernatural, that is, the spirit world. And they get them. They do get them. And the devil gives them plenty of it. But that is not what God wants. God wants, you know, in Luke's gospel, toward the end it says, when the Son of Man cometh, not if, but when, shall he find faith on the earth? That's what he's looking for, folks. He's not looking for all this splashy shenanigans of a stadium church and Benny Hinn pushing people over and all these people speaking in tongues and all this nonsense. He's looking for biblical faith. People who believe what he says in his word and practice it. That's what he's looking for. Faith in what he did, not what I can do. Oh, listen, Paul, to Paul's description of a true believer, verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not. You know what he's talking about? He's talking in verse 25, the first half, about the glorification of your physical body. That's what he's talking about. Has it happened yet? No. No, it hasn't happened yet. So he says, we hope, our hope, we know that's going to happen one day. Not yet. See it? Verse 25. Verse 25. Let's read it again. But if we, saved people, hope for that we see not. See? We don't see it yet because our bodies are still corrupt. It's not glorified yet, but we know it will be by hope. See that? Now, go to Acts chapter 8. I want to show you an occurrence of what I'm speaking about. People wanting to see supernatural things to believe. And the sad part is they end up believing in those supernatural things and not the God of the Bible. See? In Acts chapter 8, there's a sorcerer who deceives people by, guess what? Miracle signs and wonders. He had satanic power. He didn't have God or God's power. In look at chapter 8 of the book of Acts, verse 5. Paul is going about doing good. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, he had apostolic power. The miracles here were only to enforce the truth of what he preached, the gospel. 7. For unclean spirits, those are demons, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. No, he wasn't. He was a wicked, evil sorcerer, devil worshiper. 10. To whom they, the people, all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Time out. Time out. Look at verse 10 again. The people believed that what he was doing was by the power of God. Do you see it? That's what they believe in these charismatic churches. This man must be of God. Look at the miracles. Look at the people slain in the spirit all over the floor. Look at the holy laughter. You ever seen one of these holy laughter services? Oh my goodness. You talk about crazy nonsense. Kundalini spirit in the church, yoga, all this. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Now look at this verse 10. This man is the great power of God. He's demon possessed. And they're claiming he's of God. Sound familiar? Churches today. 11. And to him, Simon the sorcerer, they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. You know what we got? We got a bunch of people who call themselves Christians who are bewitched by sorceries today. Folks, I'm here to tell you the truth tonight. I am not going to whitewash this message. There are Christians who are bewitched by preachers who claim to work miracles in God's power. And it's satanic. Look at verse 12. But when they what? Believed Philip, they got saved. You see that? They didn't get saved by Simon's sorceries. They were in bondage to Satan by them. But in verse number 12, a whole bunch of people got saved by believing the gospel that Philip preached. Folks, the Bible can't make it any clearer. Finally, fifthly, back to Romans 8, and we'll finish up. Romans chapter 8. Notice Paul's prescription for the believer in waiting for the redemption of his body or her body. Verse 25. What is his prescription? Verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Look at verse 23. We're waiting for something, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, observe the biblical method for the child of God who awaits glorification. Begins with a P. Patience. Don't we have to be patient? You know, there's so many trials and struggles and heartaches in this life. We have to be patient. Because it will come. We know it will come someday. Could be tonight. We don't know. But listen, folks. We do not walk by sight, but by faith. And all of our wonders, listen to me, what I'm about to say, all of our wonders and miracles are found in the pages of this holy book. You want to see miracles? Read the King James Bible. You want to see wonders? Read the King James Bible. It's got wonders and miracles and signs from God that will absolutely floor you spiritually. Better than any of these seen miracles that the fakes put out. Oh yeah, this book is full of signs and wonders for you. You just have to get in there and enjoy them. Amen? Now folks, listen carefully. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see Paul's prescription for the believer while waiting for his glorified body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Passage familiar to us. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, Paul just called your entire Christian life of years and years and years a moment in time. Wow. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's glorification. While we look, not at Penny Hinn, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If God's people could only understand this verse. The things which are seen are not you. They're not your joy. They are not your security. The things which are not seen is what we need to focus on. But Pastor, how can I do that? I'm so glad you asked. Right here. Right here. The things which are not seen, this book is full of them. And they're more real than the ground you're sitting on right now. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I love it. We have patience while we wait. Colossians 1 verse 11. Paul says, strengthened with all might, that's by his spirit, according to his glorious power, unto all what? Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul says here that if you're being strengthened daily by the Holy Spirit, it will develop patience in you and in your life. Now, that I like that. Romans 15. Go back to Romans 15. This final point is a good one, because Paul's prescription for the believer's waiting period is patience. And the Bible will give it to you. In Romans 15, look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Now, I got to pause right here. Look at it again. That we, through patience and comfort of, that's from the Scriptures. Hey, my message to you is the Scriptures, not signs and wonders. You see that? Might have what? Hope. There's that word again. Thank you, June. Hope. Patience produces hope. Now the God of patience and consolations grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Wow! 1 Thessalonians. Flip ahead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So good. God's word. Where would we be without it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of... There it is again. Patience and hope coupled together. Hope of what? Glorification. Look at verse 3. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. I love that. 2 Thessalonians. Flip ahead 3 pages. You'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, Thessalonians, in the churches of God, for your what? Patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Wow. The church of Thessalonica was patient and faithful while enduring great trials and persecutions. Let's finish up in James. We'll finish up here, and then we'll eat. In James chapter 1, look with me at verse 2. My brethren, say people, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A patient Christian is not going to be looking outside of the boundaries that God, our Father, hath set up for us. See that? The parameters that the Word of God dictates to us. Why? Because you're patient. You're not stepping out. You're not getting out of bounds because of your patience. And patience will have her perfect work, that we may be perfect, that's mature, that's spiritually mature, and entire, that's whole, not needing something else, wanting nothing past Jesus Christ. Okay? Go to chapter 5. We'll finish up. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, this patience, waiting for the coming of the Lord, includes our glorification to come when he comes, okay? Go drop down to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken unto in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Yeah. You know how many months he was sitting in that dunghill just scraping pus out of his sores? He needed patience to get through that. But the Lord brought him through it. I needed patience to get through my kidney stone a couple weeks back, and the Lord brought me through it. And look at this. And you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Therefore, be patient. Be patient. He's tender. He's merciful. He's kind and compassionate. He'll take care of whatever problem you have. Just be patient under it. Be patient under it. All right, back to Romans 8. Let's read it and we'll pray. Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 24 and 25. And Lord, how we thank you for the truths conveyed by your Holy Spirit through this text. Lord, I thank you that tonight we are reminded that we, as your servants in this evil world, oh, we must be patient, Lord, because just turning on the news is very, very frustrating lately. And it calls for extreme patience on the part of the believer. We must remember that our God is in control, not the White House, not the politicians. Lord, I thank you that you are coming back soon and very soon. And you merely ask us to be patient in the meantime, knowing the blessed hope of our glorification to come. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We don't yet see those glorified bodies, but we know through the eyes of faith, confidently, joyfully, we expect them one day very soon. And how we thank you tonight for that, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let's grab our hymnals and we'll finish up with a song tonight at our invitation time.